Good to have you back with us, Sam. Thank you. Even though this is baseball season, I want to begin this morning with a basketball story. And it's about Michael Jordan, arguably one of the greatest professional basketball players of all time. Well, one night, Michael Jordan scored 69 points in a single game. In that same game, rookie Stacey King made his NBA debut. He shot one free throw, and he made it. After the final buzzer, a reporter asked King for his thoughts on the game, and Stacey King, with his tongue firmly planted in his cheek, replied, "I'll always remember this as the night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points." What a great way to look at it. Michael Jordan was a great basketball player, and yet John Elliott, in his book titled Overachievement, claims that Jordan was not really a very gifted basketball player. For example, Jordan ranked 9th in the NBA for field goals made and 18th in total points. He never ranked first in any major NBA statistic. And even in his prime, Jordan was not the fastest or the most accurate shooter. He was not a rebounder or a brilliant defender. Yet Jordan is still considered one of the greatest players of his era. How did a poor defender, average shooter get to be a five-time NBA MVP? Passion, confidence, determination, all of these were involved, of course. Michael Jordan, who famously was cut from his middle school team, simply set out to be the best that he could be, and the rest is history. There's a part of almost everyone that is thrilled when someone attempts to reach lofty goals. The pioneer, the successful entrepreneur, the victorious athlete all speak to us about the ability of the human spirit to achieve monumental accomplishments. Vicariously, we share in their achievements and we find hope for our own lives in their successes. President John F. Kennedy's hero was his grandfather. And he loved to hear stories about his grandfather's boyhood in Ireland. And one of these stories concerned how Grandfather Fitzgerald used to walk home from school each day with a group of friends. Sometimes these boys would challenge each other to climb over the stone walls along the lanes of the countryside. However, there were times when the young Fitzgerald and the other boys were hesitant to dare these hazardous climbs. So they devised a way to motivate themselves to take the risk involved. They would toss their caps over the wall. You see, they knew they dare not go home without their hat. So they had to climb over the wall to get there. They tossed their caps over the wall as a way of motivating themselves to take a risk. There are times when all of us long to toss our caps over the wall. There are times when we hunger in our own way for the heroic, whether we want to change jobs or start our own business, go back to school or whatever. There comes those times in life when we feel the need to make a change. I know of one man in particular who decided to make such a change. He was 30 years old at the time, and he owned a successful small business which had been left to him by his father. He was secure. He was liked and respected by his friends and his neighbors, and he was meeting all of his responsibilities in life. But he knew that this was not where he belonged. He felt called to a ministry of teaching and preaching and healing. And so he threw his cap over the wall. At first, he met with spectacular success, and his reputation spread with amazing speed. But as his popularity increased, so did the number of his critics, especially in his hometown. Some of his closest friends tried to dissuade him from his insanity, and his family was also concerned for him. But he persevered in his new calling for 3 years, only to die an untimely death. As he hung on a cross between two thieves, dying a cruel and unjust death, feeling forsaken by both God and man, no one would have judged his life to be a success. But it was. For all of this took place around Nazareth more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus tossed his cap over the wall, and you and I are thankful that he did. He modeled for us what the life of adventure should truly be. Early in the 20th century, the world was, of course, thrilled as Colonel Charles Lindbergh flew his little Spruce Wood plane, solo across the Atlantic. As he was leaving the last stretches of land in Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, he kept looking down on the forests and the lakes and the valleys, thinking that if an emergency arose, he would land in that little clearing beside the river, or he would clear those trees and land in that lake. But soon there were no more clearings, no more clumps of trees, only ocean. His cap was over the wall. James Freeman tells of touring Salt Lake City and visiting with his Mormon guide. The young man told him that his grandmother had come to Salt Lake City in the early days when the Mormons first had come to Utah. Apparently, she had traveled all the way from Omaha on foot, pushing a handcart. Can you imagine that? Across deserts and mountains, she pushed a handcart. The people of her faith were waiting at the other end of her journey. Her cap was over the wall. Doesn't it make your blood run faster to know that there are people who have charted a heroic course for their lives and seen it through? There are times in everyone's life when they need to toss their hat over the wall. Of course, no one has ever really accomplished anything of note without critics. Toss your cap over a wall and you learn very quickly who your true friends are. Winston Churchill, truly a man of heroic stature, was one of the most criticized politicians who ever lived. But he knew how to handle his detractors. Perhaps one of the most famous of Churchill's exchanges was one he had at a state dinner with Nancy Astor, whose own reputation for an acid wit and instant repartee was considerable. Well, during dinner, Lady Astor was compelled to listen to Churchill expound his views on a great number of subjects, all of them at variance with her own strongly held views. Finally, no longer able to hold her tongue, she said, "Winston, if you were my husband, I would flavor your coffee with poison." To which Churchill immediately replied, "Madam, if I were your husband, I should drink it." No one accomplishes anything of note without critics. Certainly Jesus had his critics. When Jesus was in the early part of his ministry, people were starting to take note of him. He's chosen his 12 disciples who will carry on the work, and after he is gone, the crowds were growing larger. Momentum is building towards a magnificent ministry. But almost immediately he runs into opposition. First of all, it was from his own family. In the Gospel of Mark, we read that when Jesus' family heard about what was happening, they went to take charge of him. For they said, he's out of his mind. Can you imagine that? His family wanted him to shut down his ministry and come home. Isn't that the way life is sometimes? It's those close to us, closest to us, who have the hardest time coming to grips with our dreams and aspirations. I like the story about the first grade teacher who was taking her pupils on a field trip to the local zoo. And each child, these were very little children, were given a turn at guessing the names of the various animals. The camel, the lion, the giraffe, the bear, the elephant, all were named correctly. Then it got to be this other little boy's turn, and the teacher pointed to a deer and asked him if he knew what it was. Well, the little boy hesitated for a moment, and he was looking kind of unsure of himself, so the teacher tried to prompt him by saying, think of what your mother calls your father at home. The boy brightened up immediately. He said, so that's what a baboon is. Well, I won't ask if your spouse has ever called you a baboon, but I can assure you that anyone who seeks to make this dramatic change in their life is going to encounter criticism and tension. And sometimes it comes from your own family. Or it may come from colleagues, too. In Jesus' case, it was the teachers of the law who had come down from Jerusalem. With a kind of poisonous sneer, they greeted his teachings like this. He's possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons, he's driving out demons. Sometimes that's the way life is. Start to make waves and somebody is going to try and wrestle the oars out of your hands. One author has called this the sock theory. Remember who that is, Jonas Salk? That great doctor of medicine who pioneered polio research and discovered the polio vaccine. He had a legion of critics he dealt with over the years. At one point, he made an interesting observation about the nature of criticism. It seems to hold true for any person who's successfully innovative. First, he said, people will tell you that you are wrong. Then they'll tell you that you're right, but that what you're doing really isn't important. And finally, they'll admit to you that you're right and what you're doing is very important. But after all, they do it all the time. We all have our critics. The best way to answer your critics is to do as the builder of the Panama Canal did. He had to endure the criticism from countless directions back home who predicted that he would never complete this great task. But the resolute builder pressed steadily forward in his work and said nothing. One of his subordinates, irritated by the flack they were receiving, asked the great engineer if he was ever going to answer his critics. In time, he said, when the canal is finished. There comes a time when we toss our caps over the wall, in spite of everything that the critics have to say. Nothing's ever accomplished by people who value comfort and safety and acceptance above all else. There comes a time in life where we need to take that leap of faith. Of course, the greatest adventure that anyone can start out on, the most spectacular, often the most courageous change that can be made in any life is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, it's unfortunate that for the most part that statement will fall on deaf ears. All too often, I think we confuse discipleship with membership in the church. Or we confuse discipleship with respectability. But there's certainly no particular risk involved in being respectable or belonging to a church. But to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to move from a nominal belief to a radical conviction, to to move from a nodding acquaintance with God to a complete commitment of one's life. That's more of a challenge for the human creature than digging a canal or finding a cure for polio or even being the best basketball player in the world. I was reading an article the other day about Noel Paul Stuckey's conversion to Christianity. Now, some of you may know Stuckey by the wedding song that he wrote. Here are some of the words. "He is now to be among you with the calling of your heart. Rest assured this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of your spirits here has caused him to remain. For whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. There is love." Others of you might know Paul Stuckey as the second member of the folk singing trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Well, at one point in his life, Stuckey was going through a time of searching and crisis. He was disturbed by the hypocrisy in his life. And he turned to an old Greenwich Village friend by the name of Bob Dylan for advice. Two things that Dylan said stood out in Stuckey's mind. One was to go for a long walk in the country. And two, read the Bible. Well, Paul took the advice. He went for this long, long walk in the country, and it helped him sort out his priorities. And he read the Bible. Although his folk group had sung several spirituals and gospel tunes, Stuckey had never opened a Bible before. But now he read through the entire New Testament and parts of the Old. He had a hard time with some of it. It was slow and often quite mysterious. But something real happened in Paul Stuckey's life then. And today he's living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. His cap is over the wall. Isn't it time for some of us to toss our cap over the wall? There was a high jumper who was referring to a world record he set in his sport. He said he threw his heart over the bar and the rest of him followed. Maybe you and I need to throw our hearts over the wall so that we can follow. It's exciting for me to read about the early days of Jesus' ministry. He had his critics, of course, but he never let them get him to detract from his call. His life is a challenge to our lives. Time for us to toss our cap over the wall as well. Amen.